So the scripture this morning is from Mark 1, and it's verses 16 to 20. And while you're turning there, I'd just like to take a minute to set the scene. So this is basically the beginning of Jesus' ministry. He's probably about 30 years old, and he's calling the first of his 12 disciples. And it's at the Sea of Galilee. And at the Sea of Galilee, there was a thriving, wonderful fishing industry. And the men that he's about to call here this morning are part of that industry. And Jesus is walking the shore. And I'm going to read this morning, I'm reading from NIV. I know that we use ESV, but I have ESV at home that I use for a study Bible. Unfortunately, to bring it here to church, I need a fridge cart to carry it. So I'm going to read from the NIV this morning. So Mark 1, verses 16 to 20. This is the word of the Lord. As Jesus walked beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. "Come, follow me," Jesus said, "and I will send you out to fish for people." At once they left their nets and followed him. When he had gone a little farther, he saw James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John in a boat, preparing their nets. Without delay, he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat and the hired men and followed him. This is the word of the Lord. I don't know. I'm kind of going to pick on the guys a little bit this morning. I think this is probably a guy thing, but might not be. So have you ever been sitting in a room and your wife said something to you from the other room? You're not really sure what she said. You didn't hear it clearly, but you know she said something and she said it to you. What do we respond? If you're like me, I just sit there and wait. And know that if it's real important, she'll either say it louder or she'll come into the room and tell me. Rarely do I get up, walk into the other room and say, "Could you tell me what you said?" This situation can be similar to being called by Jesus. We hear and we know that something is being said to our heart, but we wait for him to come. We wait for him to come closer so that we can hear him more clearly. On this day, in this scene, Jesus was calling ordinary men to do extraordinary work. And I believe he's still calling today. He's calling people to come to him for salvation. He's calling people for service. And I wonder if the Lord is calling you today. Our text today reveals many things regarding the call of the Lord. From this passage, we can see several characteristics about the call of the Lord, and they're made known to us, and I want to examine some of these characteristics today. If the Lord calls you, there is definitely a need to know and recognize his voice. And as we go through these characteristics today, I would ask that we keep this question in mind, in the forefront of our mind. Is the Lord calling me? Is he speaking to my heart about any area of my life? And I do believe that he speaks to all of us. The saints are gathered here today, and he will speak to us. So this is a message that I feel we need to hear. So the first characteristic that I want to highlight is that his call is personal. Let's look at verses 16 and 17. As Jesus walked beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. "Come, follow me," Jesus said, "and I will send you out to fish for people, to be fishers of men." Jesus walked up to the boats, and he called these four men specifically. I'm sure that there were many other boats anchored there, but he called four men specifically, and he called them personally. I believe this is how it is with us. It is an intensely personal matter. What also should be noted here is that the moment of this calling, they weren't just sitting around, they weren't just chatting, they were busy. They were busy casting nets, and they were busy mending nets. Many, many make the claim that they are eager to be used by the Lord, and then sit back and wait for him to show up. As believers, we are part of his family, placed here by him. You need only to earnestly look around, and you will see that there is plenty of work to be done. The scriptures tell us that the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. If you want to be used by the Lord, be busy where you are, being faithful where he has placed you, no matter where that is, and he will eventually lead you to larger areas of service. Regardless of the area of calling that comes our way in our life, that call must be heeded and never ignored. It is a private calling in a very personal way. It will be felt in your heart, where an awesome power will be drawing you closer to Jesus. And as you draw closer to Jesus, he will direct you and help you point people in his direction. And from verse 20 of our text, it says, without delay, he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men and followed him. This verse also reveals clearly that the call is private and personal, as Zebedee and the servants were left behind, apparently not receiving the same call. So first of all, his call is personal. Secondly, his call is public, and his call will become public. Even though the work does his work in private, he will get the glory he deserves as his work is worked out publicly. We think it's done in private. We don't know the effect we're having on people's lives, but be assured that effect is being done. Being fishers of men means that they will eventually be called to a public stand for Jesus. These men won't be sitting back doing nothing. They'll be called to publicly line up with him and his teachings and point people to him. God does not save us and call us so that we can hide ourselves away and pretend that we're like everybody else. Too often we see that people want to live with a foot in both worlds, a world that is letting your life be ruled by Jesus and a world that is of the world. His call demands that we take a stand for him, regardless of what others think about us. And isn't that in our world today? We see more and more often that Christians can be mocked and ridiculed and talked down against and with no consequence. We seem like we're an easy target. We are living in a world that's filled with people that are headed for eternal destruction. The words of Jesus ring in my ears often when he said on the cross, Lord, forgive them, for they know not what they do. They are trapped in spiritual darkness and are in desperate need of help. One of the best ways that we can be helpful is to live openly and honestly for the glory of God. In Matthew 5, verses 13 to 16, it talks about what we should look like. We should look like a light on a hill, that we should shine in this darkened world. We must persevere and shine in the darkness. We see we've done many baptisms lately, and it's a wonderful thing to see people openly sharing their faith with this community of believers. But it doesn't stop there. That's only a beginning. That is showing that I'm willing to serve and to be used by God and by Jesus to lead people to Him. Third characteristic is Jesus' call is precious. In verse 18, we see this. At once they left their nets and followed Him. Now, if someone were to walk up to you this afternoon and offer you without conditions something that was extremely precious to you, you would probably, without hesitation, accept the offer as long as you could truly trust the person making the offer. You would take it without doubt. His call is precious in the same way. These men weren't anything special before Jesus called them. They were common, ordinary fishermen, not highly educated or wealthy. Although fishing was making a good living, they were not wealthy. They weren't in high standing in society, not set apart from the thousands that lived in that area. What a privilege to be called out of all of those people. God will often work in this way, finding His greatest treasures in the most obscure and unlikely places. We only need to look through the scriptures to see this to be true. Think of David, the less likely of all his brothers to be king. Moses, who couldn't speak, sent to represent the Israelites to Pharaoh. Paul, formerly Saul, killed and persecuted Christians and became the first missionary of the church. And think of the small boy and his lunch that fed thousands. He chooses those whom no one else would, so he gets the glory. In 1 Corinthians 2, verse 27, he tells us very clearly that He uses the foolish to mock the wise and the weak to mock the strong so that He gets the glory, the most unlikely of people. The very fact that people get saved and then are allowed to serve the Lord is a privilege and a blessing. It's a blessing beyond compare. It's not a burden. Too often we think of when the Lord calls us to service that it's, oh, I can't do it, I'm too busy, all the excuses. It's not a burden. It's a privilege that He has called you. See, we are all in rebellion against God in our unforgiven state. And if not for the gospel of Jesus, the true gospel, as Jason preached on for consecutive weeks, we would be condemned to hell, to eternal destruction. And it is true that there is a true gospel, and it is also true, unfortunately, that there is a false gospel. Many places that call themselves churches are not preaching the true gospel. We must be aware of that at all times. If we truly understand the infinite value that we have been granted through God's grace, our response would and should be immediate and without hesitation to His call, like these men. He takes us as we are, saves us by His grace, and puts us into His service. This statement might be somewhat controversial. I want you to listen to it very closely, though, please. If we are not changed by God's grace, we are not saved by grace. Again, if we are not changed by God's grace, we are not saved by grace. Never take your salvation for granted. What He did when He called you and me and saved us is more precious than we, with our finite minds, can comprehend. What he did for us, what he continues to do for us, it is amazing. If he's calling you to salvation today, don't hesitate. Accept that call. If he's calling you to service or to a deeper level of service, don't hesitate his call. It is precious. The fourth characteristic is that his call is very powerful. Verses 18 to 20. At once they left their nets and followed him. Amazing that they, when he had gone a little farther, when they saw James and Zebedee and his brother in a boat preparing their nets, without delay, he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat and the hired men and followed him. When the Lord's call came, they left their profession, they left their job without hesitation. They didn't call a committee meeting. They didn't stop to debate the pros and cons of what they were being asked to do. They didn't call for a vote. They didn't ask about the length of service. They responded with obedience immediately. They stepped out of their ships, away from their lives, and they knew and experienced a powerful change. Their lives would never be the same again. In service to Jesus, change is inevitable. Going back is not an option, even though the disciples did try. If you have time this afternoon, read John chapter 21. In that chapter, it's after the death and resurrection of Christ, and the disciples had returned back to their old profession. And what happened? Who appeared to them on the shore? Jesus. Going back was not an option for them. Whether the call is to salvation or to service, when the call comes, it comes with great power. It's not weak or questionable. It's unmistakable and life-changing. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17 says this, that we will be a new creation. You are going to change. The old is gone. Our path has changed. Our footsteps are in a different direction with different motives, not self-glorifying, but to bring glory to God. But some will attempt to hold on to the things of this world. Some, as I said earlier, will want to live with a foot in both worlds. That's very clear from the scripture in Matthew 19, verses 16 to 26. And that is a parable about the rich young man who had kept all the commandments, who had done anything that he was asked to do. And yet there was one thing that Jesus knew would be his stumbling block. That was his clinging to the riches of this world, what this world has to offer. He was being deceived. Deception was getting into his life. Don't let deception lead you astray, especially if he is calling you. Allow nothing to stand in the way of experiencing his life-changing power firsthand. Allow it into your life. By meeting him and responding to him, you will never be the same. Change will be inevitable. And the fifth characteristic from verse 17, his call will be profound. In verse 17, he said, "Come, follow me," Jesus said, "and I will send you out to fish for people, to become fishers of men." These men had spent their whole adult life and probably a good portion of their childhood as fishermen, living by what they got from the sea. When Jesus called them, he made them a promise. The promises of God are always true and sure. We can be guaranteed of that. But his promise was framed in words that they would understand. He didn't talk in great theology. He didn't quote great forms of scripture from the past. He talked to them in words that they would understand. He promised that they would still be fishing, but from now on, they would become anglers looking to land people, fishers of men. The net they would be casting wouldn't be into the Sea of Galilee anymore. They would be casting the gospel net into the sea of humanity, and the net would be good news, would be the good news contained in the Word of God. They would be drawing people to Jesus. His promise was to take them as they were and make them into what he wanted them to become. He was going to change them, and this is a powerful thing. He changed each of these men and used them in powerful and profound ways for the glory of God. Jesus called these men to become something that they had never been before and what they had never thought they would ever become. This is the same for you and me. He will change us into something that we never thought possible. When his call comes, you can be sure changes are about to happen. But you may say, the Lord can't use me as I am. And that very well may be true. But the Holy Spirit will work in our heart and make us into what he intends us to become. It's a process. And it's a process that is lifelong. You see, no one fully knows how to do what he wants us to do when we first get called to service. But his grace, and by his grace, heart surgery will occur and prepare us for what he has called us to do. Of all the issues that people face in the world today, the greatest thing that need be done in people's lives is a change of heart. Hearts need to become softened like clay and placed into the hands of the heavenly potter. Put yourself at his disposal, and he will use you without a doubt. He will mold you into what he wants you to become. And that's a lot better than what we want ourselves to become. I can guarantee you that. After all, the greatest ability is availability. Let me say that again. The greatest ability is availability. Make yourself available. Make no mistake, God will use you if you make yourself available to him. And again, some of God's most profound servants come from the most unlikely of candidates. Paul, Peter, David, Moses, all these people. Unlikely. And if the Lord can use people like this for his glory, then he can and will and certainly use people like you and I. When Jesus walked the shore that day, these four men weren't lazing around, but they were busy, as I said earlier. Two were casting nets. You can't catch fish if you don't cast the net. Two were mending nets. Nets with holes in them will allow the fish that have been caught to swim away. These men were busy, but they weren't doing anything of any eternal value, of any eternal nature. If it weren't for the meeting of Jesus that day and their response to his call, they would have lived their lives, caught their fish, raised their families, died, and been forgotten. But he gave them a new life. When they chose to follow Jesus, their lives instantly had eternal value. These men were used in ways that still impacts the world today. Think about that. Still impacting the world here and now today. This is what he does to every life he touches. He takes us from our current life and places us in a spot that will have us be a part of something that will last forever. If you're working for the Lord, it is not in vain, and it will be used for eternal purposes. You can be guaranteed of that. It's his promise. It's his promise to us. Five characteristics of what the Lord wants for each of us to understand about his call. So in closing, I'm a bit of a nerd, so if you have a pen and paper and you want to write down these questions to ask yourself later today, I have four questions that I want you to ask yourself, a bit of a quiz. In which world are you laying up treasures? Two, do you truly want to live a life of eternal significance? Three, is Jesus calling you to come to him today for salvation, for sanctification, for service, or even a different level of service? And four, if so, what will you do with his call? What will you do with his call? This opportunity is open right here, right now. I think just as he passed by those boats at the Sea of Galilee, he's passing by your heart, right here, right now, in this place. The Spirit is passing by us. I know, without a doubt, that he is speaking to someone within the hearing of my voice this morning. His call is out there. If that is you, the time to come to him is now. Don't hesitate. These men are an example for us on what the response to his call should be, immediate and with obedience. Would you join me in prayer? Let's pray. Dear Father, what an example that you have given us through your word and the power that comes from it. We know, Father, that as we look to you for guidance, you won't disappoint. If we lay ourselves on the altar before you, you will pick us up and use us as you will. So my prayer today, Father, is that you would touch lives this day, that if it's a call to salvation, that would happen today. If it's a call to service or a deeper level of service, that would happen today. That people would not hesitate, that they would just move toward you and what you would have them do. We just pray these things in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.